Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do pray, ask that you'd help us know how to apply them also to our days. Help us to understand the doctrines of your word so that we may not be swayed by any wind of doctrine and the sleight of man and cunning craftiness. Help us to be stable in your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews are three transitional books. And unfortunately, many professing Christians will use those three books to establish some false doctrines. And so when we go through Acts, hopefully we can get settled on our doctrine. And that way we're not swayed by the deceptions that's happening in the church today. In Acts 3, at the beginning, we started coming down through that. Peter and John was able to have a crippled man healed. This man was crippled from his birth, and they healed him. And so that's a miracle. But from God's perspective, a miracle is not a big deal. From our perspective, it's a big deal. A miracle is actually God using a higher law to overthrow a lower law. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, the law of gravity. Okay, that's a law. Okay, and what overthrows a law of gravity is the laws of aerodynamics, in that when wind goes over a wing, the way the wing is formed, the air is compressed, creating lift. Okay, and that appears to be a miracle where you're overthrowing gravity. It's just a higher law overruling a lower law. Okay, a watchmaker. Okay, a watchmaker designs a watch to keep time, but he has something in the watch that will allow you to put the time backwards or forwards. So that's a higher law overruling the lower law. Okay, and God is the watchmaker of the universe. He's the creator. So there are things that God can do through a miracle of a higher law overruling a lower law. In this case, this man was born crippled, and the apostles were given the power to heal people as a sign, because the Jews require a sign. And so all they did, all they said was, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, and a higher law takes over. Okay, now man's perspective, that's amazing. God's perspective, so what? No big deal. Okay, if you go to the airports and see these huge airplanes and all that weight, and it's amazing that that thing can come off the ground. And what that is, it's, you know, to a pilot who understands aerodynamics, it's not a big deal to them. Okay, but to anybody else, you look at that and say, wow, that's amazing. Okay, I think there's a guy several years ago, maybe a couple hundred years ago, that said that there is no way that man can travel faster than 30 miles an hour because his head would explode. Okay, and obviously, you know, from that guy's perspective, you know, outrunning a horse, okay, you would think that you're going to fall apart. But here we are in the airplanes going 500-600 mile an hour, and your head doesn't explode. Okay, and so that's the miracles that a law overthrows another law. A higher law overthrows a lower law. Okay, so Peter healed this guy by his words. He didn't ask for a gift. He didn't ask for a vow. Just right on the spot. Done. Okay, in verse 12, it says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. So that's who he's dealing with, you men of Israel. He's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to pork-abstaining, Sabbath-worshipping, temple-attending Jewish people or Jewish proselytes. He's not talking to Americans. He's not talking to Gentiles. That's who he's talking to. And this miracle that he performed was a verification to those Jews that listen to him that what he said or is going to say is true. Mark chapter 16 verifies that. These are apostolic gifts. He said this, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? No big deal, he says. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus. There's the bottom line right there, Jesus. These Jews got to face Jesus Christ, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Okay, so he's reviewing crucifixion. On that day, the Jewish people said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Simon Peter is saying, his blood is on you. He's on your hands. What are you going to do about it? Verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith. In his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith. Okay, those two words put together, I think I mentioned this last week, those two words put together, that's the first time chronologically in the Bible. The faith. It's not having faith, it's like a noun, it's like a body of faith. It's like certain doctrines. Okay, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Okay, the faith of Jesus Christ. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Okay, so one of the sayings that Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Okay, ignorance. If ignorance is bliss, a lot of people are living in a blizzard. But the idea of ignorance ignorance can hurt a person. Okay, Leviticus chapter 4 has the sin of ignorance. Okay, but there's something worse than that. Okay, if you ignore a subject, if you say you're ignorant about a subject, it's not meaning you're stupid or anything, you've just ignored the subject. That's all that you've done. Okay, that might hurt you, but here's what will hurt you. It's when you think something is so, when it is not so, that will hurt you. And a lot of people are arguing and fighting about something they think is right, and it's not right, and then they get hurt by it. Okay, and in Proverbs, the two verses it goes with in Proverbs, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's amazing in our age that truth is often stranger than fiction. If you tell a Catholic that Good Friday's a hoax, they'd get mad at you. It's a hoax. It's a fairy tale. The perpetual virginity of Mary, that's a fairy tale. To them, oh, that's absolute truth. Easter's a pagan holiday. What? Are you serious? That's a truth that's stranger than fiction. Christmas is a pagan holiday. You know, when I had to testify in court in Australia, one of the questions was, do you think Christmas is a pagan holiday? And I'm thinking, what kind of a question is this for a custody battle over two little boys, and you're asking me about Christmas? And I just said, yeah. And that was it. You know, I'm just thinking, this is ridiculous. And of course, they ask more ridiculous questions. Okay, but a lot of people, if you just investigate it, you'll discover a lot of things about it. A lot of our holidays are like that. Okay, tell a Shriner. Ever see the Shriner with the what do they call it, machete or whatever that thing is? It's a curved thing with his fez, F-E-Z. Tell a Shriner what that was for. He doesn't know that. That fez, that box-shaped hat, that trapezoid-shaped hat, began when a bunch of Muslims killed 50,000 Christians in Morocco, caught their blood, and drank it in a fez. And that is commemorating. And if you look at the orak on there, you'll see the crescent moon. And do they know that? They don't know that. You see, truth is often stranger than fiction. Okay, and so when we read a little Bible, we discover a lot of things. One of the favorite sayings Jesus would ask the Pharisees is, haven't you read? Haven't you read? Haven't you read this? Haven't you read that? Okay, and just a little reading of the Bible is an amazing thing what it does. So, ignorance, okay? Verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, okay? Just like Acts 2:38. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, the times of refreshing. Second coming. Okay, a while back I showed several verses in the Bible where the Jews saw the first and the second coming together. Now, they often overlook the suffering aspect of Jesus Christ. They often accented on the glorification of Jesus Christ. But all the prophets, when they wrote the first and second coming together. So we see that Peter puts them together here. You have in verse 18, should suffer, first coming, times of refreshing, second coming. And remember, these people, in their mind, they thought the second coming was going to happen very, very soon. This is why they were pooling their funds as a body of people. Because they, man, forget about building a house or anything like that. Man, the Lord's coming back. And in Acts 1:6, that's what they asked the Lord. Are you going to restore the kingdom to us? Okay, so this is called the times of refreshing. Okay, the times of refreshing is the restitution of Israel to the kingdom on earth. That's what he's talking about. 2,500 years ago, when Babylon came in and conquered Judah, there was a king named Jeconiah, and the Lord was so mad at this king, he took the J-E off of his name, which is short for Jah or Yah or Jehovah. He took the J-E off, called him Kaniah, and after Kaniah, he said there's not going to be any king sitting on the throne, okay, of Kaniah. Okay, and so he took it away from Israel back in that day, about 606 B.C., around in that range. And then about 150 years later, he established Daniel's 70 weeks, and that began the times of the Gentiles. So that's what we're living in today is called the times of the Gentiles. The nation of Israel is blinded as a body of people, and it's Gentiles who are running the show. Okay? Gentiles as in who? America? As in Illuminati? Not the American people. It's the ones at the top, the parasites at the top that are sticking their nose in everybody's business. Okay? And, you know, causing fights here and fights there and fights there. And it's like Rand Paul just recently said that America supported ISIS years ago. And all the other Republicans, oh, that's shocking. That sounds like something that Bernie Sanders would say. No, that's a fact. Bin Laden was pals with the Bush family before he fell out of grace of America. On 9/11, when all the flights were grounded, amazingly, a bunch of Saudi Arabian sheiks flew out of our country under the guise of the Bush administration and Cheney. Truth is often stranger than fiction. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's a D or an R. They're going to do what they're told to do, and it's Illuminati's pulling the strings of these guys. Okay, and so. Whoever's chosen to be next, who knows? Jeb Bush, Hillary, that's who the media is pushing. Okay, and you know, a lot of people, you look and you try to tell them this stuff and just tell them, think about it. What are the changes that's been done, no matter if it's a D or an R in the White House? There's no changes. Your taxes are going up. Nothing's going to change that. And they're not going to stop. Okay, all the fleas that land on a dog, get on the back of a dog, never have a flea convention. They never get together and say, we're going to suck too much blood out of this dog. And if we suck too much blood out of this dog, then we're all dead. They never have a flea convention. And neither do the politicians. They never have a convention. We're going to suck too much blood out of these people, and they're going to eventually cave in. Okay? And this is all Bible. And when you read the Bible, you see that This has been a pattern for years and years and years because we're living under a time period called the times of the Gentiles. Okay, and Satan is the one in charge of world kingdoms. God has delegated to him because he took it from Israel, gave it to Satan, and Satan gives it to whoever pleases him most. The exception proves the rule. The exception to the rule would be Queen Victoria over England. Okay, and the secularists mock that generation, called the mid-Victorian morals, is because they're mocking a lady who used her power to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide. And that's when the sun never set on the British Empire. Okay, but now Britain is nothing but a fifth-rate power. Why? Because they've turned their back on God. And that's where America's heading. America's turning their back on God. Okay, I just read this Southern Baptist guy in California is now gay-friendly. And his church is called the Three-Way Church. Three-way. Well, what's he going to do down the road when it goes from three-way to four-way because a buddy doesn't like his buddy, he likes his dog rather than his buddy? And they're already starting that. That has already been started. They can marry a dog in California. And this guy did this about a year and a half, 2 years ago. You know, and so what is he going to call it then? Four-way church? And then we bring in the aliens, he can call it the five-way church. Okay, and so I tell you, it's just getting crazier all the time. And what is the sin that leads to this? The sin that leads to this is pride. Ezekiel 16 verse 49 says, the sins of Sodom are pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. And you know what? We look at this and say, this is crazy, but we could also look at it another way. The Bible is so absolutely true. It predicted this years ago. And plus, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. We're getting closer and closer to Christ's coming. So praise the Lord for that. We just got to stand against this apostasy. Okay, so verse 19, he says, repent. Repent from what? Repent of murdering your Messiah, verse 14, 15, 16. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Second coming. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Okay, he preached about Jesus Christ in Acts 2. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Restoring the kingdom to Israel. The restitution of Israel. Okay, and so God is going to restore the nation of Israel because it is an unconditional promise to the Jews, the nation of Israel. But it's only the Jewish remnant that receives the promise. The Jews that do not receive their Messiah, they're going to die and go to hell just like any lost Gentile. Okay, so he says, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Okay, so first prophet, probably Adam, maybe even Abel. Okay, we know Enoch said something. That's recorded in, he's got a one-liner in the book of Jude, or the letter of Jude. Okay, and then he says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Okay, like unto Moses. Okay, let's see where Moses said that. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. Okay, the fifth book in the Old Testament, the duet of the second giving of the law, okay, parallels the fifth book in the New Testament, Acts, where it's the second opportunity to receive their Messiah. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses prophesied that a prophet's coming in the future like me. Okay, so Deuteronomy 18, verse 17. The Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet, uppercase P, from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak, and that in my name I will require it of him. He's going to face judgment. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, and that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So the death sentence under the Old Testament covenant was the death of a false prophet. This is what Elijah did, 1 Kings 18. In the New Testament, we use a spiritual sword to verbally speak to the false prophet and let the sword cut him to shreds. We don't do it physically. That's forbidden in the New Testament. So a prophet like unto Moses, okay? So the first public miracle that Moses did to convince the Jews to follow him out of Egypt is he turned water into blood. He also had a rod where he threw it down and became a snake, and it ate up the snakes of Pharaoh. He also put his hand in his shirt or clothes, and it came out leprosy. He put it back in, and it came out healed. So he had the gift of healing. He had the great wonder with the rod, okay, the Moses rod, where he would tap on things, and this is where the orchestra conductor gets that little rod. You know that little funny thing, you get that little stick, you know, he's waving it back and forth. Or the magician, he's got a rod and taps the hat. They get that from Moses. They're copying the Bible. Okay, and so the first public miracle that Moses did, he turned water to blood. And the first public miracle that Jesus did in John 2 is he turned water into new wine, pure blood of the grape. Okay, he turned it into wine. That's a parallel with Moses. And so Jesus Christ was called a prophet by the people. Today he's a priest. In the near future, he's going to be king. Okay, so that's the times of restitution. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies about Moses. Verse 23 of Acts 3, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Okay, so the Lord is going to be the one that does the destroying. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So you have Samuel, you've got Isaiah, he writes several things about it. You've got Jeremiah, he writes about it. Ezekiel, he writes about it. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Okay, Jonah. Jonah and Revelation are probably two of the most maligned books in the Bible. Those two. The book of Jonah and the miracle of that happened to Jonah. Miracle, I don't think it was even a miracle. To be quite honest with you, for a whale to swallow a man, that's not a big deal. The miracle is that he went to hell and got to come back. Okay, and so in 1919 in the Princeton Review, there was a man's body found intact inside a white shark. Okay, he was dead, but they found the entire body intact. Okay, there was another case where some whalers caught this whale, and they were butchering it. You ever see him? You ever get online and watch him how to butcher a whale? Oh, man. You know, that's amazing. And they were butchering this whale, and they got down to the stomach, and they saw a man inside the belly. Intact. Okay, now in Jonah's case is that he got swallowed, and he died. His soul went to hell. His body stayed inside the whale. The whale's digestive juices started to decay his body. And then 3 days later, his soul came back into his body. And When he was being thrown overboard, that's when he made a vow to God. If I get out of this mess, Lord, I probably will go to Nineveh. And so he made that vow, and then he died, and then he came up back out. And if you see where he was at when he landed on the beach, he had to go about 500 miles to get there, and so he was booking. And when he showed up, stunk to high heaven like barf, you know, and looked like a mess. And he just ran through the city and said, 40 days you're going to be destroyed, and then he hoped it would happen. He didn't want them to repent. I mean, what a character. And then they repented and got right, and then he got mad about it. And you'll see the whole last chapter of Jonah, he's mad at God for saving all these people, which he didn't want saved. But the thing about Jonah is that Jonah and the whale. In the Old Testament, it uses the word fish. Jesus Christ used the word whale. Now, I don't know how these guys missed this. When Brent was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, we'd gotten the Odyssey series from James Dobson. You know, we kind of enjoyed listening to hard old Doyle. And we liked to listen to those things. And so he got this magazine from Dr. Dobson. And it said, it talked about Jonah and a fish. Jonah and a fish, Jonah and a fish. And in the article it says, it doesn't say it was a whale, it just says it was a fish. And so I encouraged Brent to write a letter to Dr. Dobson with my help. And he just wrote, Dr. Dobson, he said, why would you say it's only a fish? Jesus said it was a whale. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. He writes back and says that, I'm not going to answer any deep theological discussions. You know, you can write the Billy Graham crusade to get an answer. I mean, and what's so hard about reading whale in English in Matthew 12, 40? That's what Jesus Christ said. And you know, the whole basis of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is dependent upon Jonah and the whale. When people mock and cast doubt on Jonah and the whale, they are indirectly casting doubt on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that is dependent on belief. And in Matthew 12, 40, Jesus Christ said it was a whale. Okay, and so he's one of the prophets. And another thing about Jonah. In John 7, I do think it is, or John 8 at the end. John 7 at the end. When the Pharisees and the chief officers were arguing about Jesus Christ, is he a prophet? Is he a fake? Is he of the devil? Okay, they knew that his lineage was through Judah, which is a southern tribe, but they also knew that he was raised as a child in Nazareth, and most of his ministry was done in Galilee, in the north. And so these guys were debating about this. And in verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, said unto them, why have you not brought him? Because they're wanting Jesus, they want these the police to bring Jesus Christ to them. And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Nobody talks like him. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? The Pharisees thought, you guys, you're just dumber than a box of rocks. You don't know anything about the Bible. You don't know anything about God. And you're just deceived. And then they said this, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Well, Nicodemus did. Maybe they didn't know that yet. But just because all those big shots don't believe, don't make it right or wrong. You know, all scientists agree global warming is a scientific fact. No, they don't. There's a lot of scientists that don't agree with it. But no, they're going to say all of them agree with it. In fact, I wouldn't mind global warming. Maybe Indiana become beachfront someday. I don't know. Who cares? You know, and the funny thing is that they're saying the ice is melting. I thought that when water freezes, it expands. So if it melts, it shrinks. So what's the problem with it melting? You know, but again, all scientists agree. You know, Obama agrees. Joe Biden agrees. Joe Biden, what a ding-dong. That guy was just promoting the LGBT lifestyle. And here's a brilliant statement he said, you know, about giving equal rights to the LGBT lifestyle. Inhumanity is inhumanity is inhumanity. And prejudice is prejudice is prejudice. Well, that's brilliant. Two is two is two. Real intelligent. And they're thinking that's an intelligent statement? Dumb. Blinded. Okay, so have all the Pharisees believed on him? Then verse 49, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? So Nicodemus, you can see he's coming around. And he's saying, you Pharisees, you're not obeying your laws like you say you do. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Well, funny be, guess who came out of Galilee? Jonah. Jonah came out of Galilee, but you see, these guys way back then were making fun of Jonah and the whale. And so they're not going to accept Jonah as a prophet. And Jonah came out of Galilee. And these guys didn't read that. Or at least they read it and they didn't want to admit it. Or they maligned Jonah so bad. Jonah's a fairy tale. It's a myth. It wasn't a whale. It was this. It wasn't that. You know, and all these things that goes on. And that is the foundation story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, Acts chapter 3. Let's see, verse 24. Samuel, that's where he's at. And all the prophets from Samuel and all those that follow after. As many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant God made with our fathers, that would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So that's Genesis 12. Okay, and then that covenant was passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Not Ishmael, not Esau. So notice it's a covenant. Okay, the word testament was very first used by Jesus in Matthew 26. And a testament and a covenant are similar, but yet the slight variation is that a testament implies family. Okay, where you have children. A covenant can be two parties, not family. And so the covenant is Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant in Hebrews. Okay, but yet he's implying the new birth. And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turn away every one of you from his iniquities. So the Lord Jesus Christ preached to those Jews, repent, and they didn't do it. And he's telling them under the Jewish customs, repent, and show works meet for repentance. And they murdered this Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was like unto Moses. And all the prophets gave him witness. And these folks killed him. And so Peter is trying to get them to repent to come to the Savior. Okay, and then chapter 4, he repeats that idea. And in chapter 5, they come up with the idea, are you telling us his blood upon us? And that's right, it's on you. And then in Acts 7, Stephen repeats it. And all through this process, they're trying to get the nation of Israel, enough of them, to come to the Messiah. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen. Well, maybe fortunately for our sake. So we got it on the program. Okay, so that's the end of chapter 3. Any questions or comments on what we covered?